Like, people were literally in the living room, walking through the rooms, and that's where doors would be open when they were shut and locked. That was a big deal here, where the doors can be completely locked and they'll be open. They'll come open.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for joining us, and special thank you goes out to all of you who continue to support the podcast and continue to spread the word. Always remember, if any of you out there have experiences of your own that you'd like to share, feel free to email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and you too could be a guest on the show. We got an epic show lined up for you guys today. We are welcoming Mercedes Lucky Benedict to the show, who lives in Arizona. And she happens to live in an area of severe, I don't know if it's psychic and spiritual upheaval, but she's had a whole cacophony of spiritual activity going on. And even went so far as to bring in a popular television show to help her with the property. So we're going to get into all this, folks. Hang on, it's about to get epic. Welcome to the show, Mercedes. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your amazing show, Brent. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure getting to know you, because, you know, as you and I were talking yesterday quite a bit, there's a lot of similarities in many of our experiences and in our journeys. And I thought that was really neat. So I guess in a lot of ways, maybe you're a very kindred spirit, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, when we were talking yesterday, I'm like, wow. In fact, I kept thinking about it through the night. Like, it is unusual to find people. Well, maybe not so much. I think on our path nowadays, that our kindred spirits are, that's a great word for it. You know, people are coming together that kind of are supposed to be together and to do whatever. I mean, it could be just, you know, just to be on the show.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
It is amazing, but it's been a real pleasure getting to know you, and of course your story is absolutely fascinating and horrifying and epic and scary, and my hat's really off to you guys, because I guess at the end of the day, the cool part is you guys overcame this adversity of a spiritual nature, and that's no small feat. So if I could ask you, how did you start to realize things were kind of askew at your home? What was going on that really made you go, wait a minute, this isn't right?
It started, I think what happened was, originally I had not come here when I had first met Joe. Now, I had met him through my work with the doctor. And I'm a therapist. I'm a certain kind of therapist. And so I met him there, and that's when it began. But as I began, I was working on him. So when my work, I ended up dealing with some spirits that were attached to him in his body, because that's kind of the work I've been doing for many, 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 many years now. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't actually come to the property for several months after, because he lived way out in the country. Mm-hmm. And so I was in Tucson, but it seems to me that it all held off pretty calmly until I actually moved here. Mm. When I actually moved here, that's when it started coming after me, us, because I think, because one thing is of the spirituality of what I do in my work, mm-hmm. which is to your unwanted energies, you know, a lot of it through pain or whatever, you know.
Sure.
And now I do this whole thing where I help people with their properties and things too. But I think that I was the one that was the one that went after because of that. So Joe had lived here several times before and owned this property a long, long time. And he had renters mainly. Mm-hmm. And he never mentioned that. I know that he had personally seen, which he talked about in that television show, mm-hmm. that, you know, what he saw one day at the front door and how he reacted to that. And so that there was a paranormal element happening prior to me arriving here.
Okay.
Yes. And so when I did arrive here, that's when things started to be pushed at us, almost to break us apart mm-hmm. from the get-go, literally. But because I can see spirits and know these things, I can see things and I get the messages. I mean, it was very clear to me what was going on. But trying to get people to believe that or even get Joe to understand that was like, really? But, you know, when you're working with the paranormal, and I'd already before coming here worked on taking things off of him, he was really a great champion for me in many ways, because I can draw the spirit. So mm-hmm. he actually was the first person to buy me a actual, you know, sketchbook. Mm-hmm. So that's how much he did to believe in what I was saying and doing and seeing. But I do know for a fact, Brent, as the television show did arrive or coming, I knew they were coming. I went into research, you know, what did the people see here before? What, mm-hmm. who was, when they were living here, did they see, what did they hear? And I did reach out and find one of the renters mm-hmm. and she did not want to be on the television show, but she was very happy to tell me that about her experiences, which were similar to mine, oh. which were the loud footsteps. And she was a single mom. And so loud footsteps, like people were literally in the living room, walking through the rooms mm-hmm. and enough to where doors would be open when they were shut and locked. That was a big deal here, where the doors can be completely locked and they'll be open. They'll come open.
Wow.
And that's pretty scary. No, it's scary. Like, or you'll be trying to get out of a room. And this has not happened. It's in a year now, mm-hmm. Since the exorcism. But you could try to get into, go into a door and somebody was on the other side holding the door. There's no lock on the door mm-hmm. on this one bedroom, mm-hmm. but it was held as if there was a lock.
Wow.
And then it would just open. So yeah, I'm telling you, those similar things were happening, to us as well as the people that lived here prior.
Had he had a lot of turnover in renters, that people just coming and going and coming and going?
You know, there was a couple of turnarounds, I think, through it. And then sometimes the property sat alone. There were some different personal issues that he was going through. So there were different situations. Joe didn't remember them saying anything. And I'm like, well, I asked the lady, did you not tell us? She never really told Joe about that. So this house here was the actual first house that really was on this land that we are on. So no other house had been placed here prior. This was pasture land. This was like cattle, crops, all. And prior to that, it was, of course, the Native American land. We are surrounded by copper mines. Well, they weren't copper mines originally, though, were they? So they were the Native Americans' land and mountains. So we have this little valley that I'm in. It's a little valley. Saw a tremendous amount of war and pain and bloodshed, and it has huge amount of history, which I delved into as pretty much from the get-go, trying to understand what was here and what I was seeing.
Sure. Wow. That is amazing.
It is amazing.
you had experiences between you guys of apparitions, of doors, of I mean, what other phenomena? Yeah.
Yeah, voices. So a lot of things would happen if you go to this. Originally, when I got here, there was really nothing on the land. Mm-hmm. It didn't even have any trees. I'm a big plant person, a tree person. And right away, we ended up, a dog came, and then another dog, and then a horse. And so we began really working on constructing on the land. Mm-hmm. I believe in talking to the land and blessing the land and asking the land, like, we're going to, I know it sounds silly, no, but that's how my training is. And I believe in it, that we ask, you know, we tell the land before we do something that we're going to use this land for something good, you know? And so, because I know about how spirits can be upset when you go past like their special, let's say if you crossed over a sacred land where people are buried, you know, we've seen those old movies, you know, that bad things happen when you do that. Well, literally this land, I've discovered that it is a very sacred land. It is. And when they lived here, the natives, they planted crops. This was a huge Hohokam land, which there was rivers underneath rivers and waterways underneath our land. Wow. That were designed. I mean, it's like going into the Sphinxes, you know. It was that incredible what they did here. It all vanished at one point, which is interesting, but underneath our land, I know there are waterways, and right where we're sitting and we have our land is there was a huge, it's a dry river now, but before it was a riverway called the Brawley Wash. And not only was it a river, it was a flowing, functioning river where people lived and traded on this river. And right now I'm in a desert. In the desert, really.
Okay.
But before this, this waterway was a trade mecca. Oh. And it's all in history. It's all right there. It was a trade mecca going into Tucson. And, you know, but when the Native Americans were here, I don't even know if it was called Tucson then. You know, wasn't Tucson. They probably had another name. But all of that vanished as different things occurred. And I believe that there was a lot of anger and pain, and it was all right here because their homes were taken away. And but for historical issues, when a person would die, they would literally just bury them in the earth where they died.
Okay.
Pretty much as I figured out. So there are all kinds of bodies probably buried all around here. And so I did discover through research, it was difficult, but I found it. When you look up the university's historical research of all their excavations for, you know, what they do, there's a list of bodies, or there's a list of bones that were found in all kinds of areas around here. Mm. So we're definitely living on a land that has a huge history. And I believe that when we moved in, or all the people that moved here, I found out through due diligence that not only we had experienced this, but I found many, many others that have seen the same things that were here in their own homes.
Wow.
I'm like, what is it about this land? Is it cursed? So I went to find out that what is it? And yes, in the old days, apparently somebody lived here and told this veterinarian lady that I really liked. She goes, yeah. She goes, oh yeah, in that area, that's been cursed land. And I'm like, ooh. I knew it.
Sure.
Yes. You don't hear about it though. There's not really even too many stores around in this area. There's just like a little tiny area that has a store, you know, some stores. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on here. And I believe that we are in a center area for, we're actually right in the middle of boom, right in the middle of several tribes that were on the different mountain ranges. So our geographic ends up, we're like in the center point of that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That would be a convergence of a lot of energies then, yeah.
It could be, yes. Mm-hmm. And we're also very much in the center of missile silos that are abandoned from that day. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm doing this documentary, because I found out you can, and they put those on sacred land. They put those on the sacred land. And I just don't think that. So basically we have huge portals in the land, which I believe is like in the name of your show. We definitely have portals on this land, and I've seen them and drawn them. And other people, of the many people that have come to help us, have seen them as well without me even saying a word, wow. You know, so it's something else.
It is. And it's incredible. You know, again, it's double tough to live in an active area, but when you're talking about that kind of activity and that kind of, you know, horror, that's incredible. But you guys have a must have an incredibly strong spirits together. And I think that's very admirable.
Amy agreed that that road did not want them down it to do this investigation. The investigation, the spirits did not want this investigation, period.
And one thing when you were talking about the university came through and then the silos, and you got to wonder, I think when the universities come in, and I appreciate the academic pursuit because that's knowledge, and I think that's noble, but I think that there probably isn't a real spiritual approach when they exhume bodies and start digging up bones. And I think that there's, you know, that spiritually speaking, I think it creates this real maybe anger or a void of compassion, and it just treats these, you know, fallen individuals as nothing more than the rocks and the dirt around them, you know?
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? So as I discovered more and more on that subject, it came to my knowledge, and I'm set to interview this person, because she grew up in an area very close to here. Mm-hmm. And as a younger person growing up, she remembered an excavation team coming into their house, a house next door, mm-hmm. because they had discovered some bones in their backyard. Oh. And so this team comes in, and literally within a week's time, they quickly left. They did something and they left. And she said that when that happened, the whole, there was a small little street. So we're in the country. Mm-hmm. And she said catastrophes began happening to everyone in that little cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. A house burned down. I mean, this is immediately a murder happened to a nice family that was right there. I mean, it was her best friend. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible murder. And it all happened within, it's pretty much everybody left that little area. And she felt like that was why they came in and excavated that stuff. And that's what they do around here. Right. And that's one of the reasons why I called my little show that I'm doing Unveiling Mystery, because of the mysteries that are all around this land, and they are mm-hmm. happening right now with all of the work. Tucson is booming right now. Oh. There is so much construction, but you know where it is? It's on these certain areas where they already know that the burial grounds are. And what will happen is a tribe will come, and I have this from firsthand knowledge of people mm-hmm. that are dealing with it. So a tribe, they'll call in the tribe, and then the tribe will have to come out and look at the body or the bones, and then they have to then take them. But what will happen is, say, half of those families are separated at that time in the bones. Oh. So they won't get the other side, but they'll have to take the ones that they have discovered. So the construction goes on one way or the other.
Sure.
But let's think about that in their religious and in their beliefs, their spiritual beliefs. Half those families have just been in bones, buried there for so long.
Right.
They've been disrupted.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. And it makes sense. I mean, even, you know, our cemeteries are more modern cemeteries are hotbeds for paranormal activity just because, and it's funny because I was just having this discussion with a gentleman that I interviewed just this last week, and he asked, you know, why do you think there's, you know, the spirits dwell around the bones because they didn't die there. And I think that's, you know, there could be many reasons that there's a psychological attachment to the body and maybe hard for some to let go of that connection to their life. And so I suppose that doesn't, you know, in spiritual terms, that doesn't just get better over time. You know, it's not like they just forget. So I think that those stay, you know, as relevant as our modern cemeteries. And once you start ripping open those graves and stuff, and I don't mean to, you know, to trivialize it again, I think it's a noble pursuit because we learn a lot from what, you know, from our histories. And I think that's important, but I think there is a proper way to do it that would show respect and would keep that peace and keep that energy, you know, calm. But I think in a lot of cases that's not observed. So very interesting. So you've had all this activity going on. At what point did you go, you know what? I feel like I want to contact this show and to bring them out there.
Okay. Let's see. So I've been dealing with this 7 years. Mm-hmm. And first year, I think it was year two out here was when I actually had decided to do this. And I talked to Joe and I said, I mean, I didn't really tell him that I wanted to do this, but when I finally did, he did not want me to reach out to anybody. We tried to bring in people, but he didn't want the whole world to know about any of this. And so the interesting thing was the first year, one thing that happens is we were actually married in February. So this month, right?
Oh, okay.
And it was always, especially right before our wedding, right the next year, that every time the wedding time would come around, it was like the most worst things could happen. Some of them I just don't even want to talk about because it would just, it would be like trying to kill us or get us at that time, just for the worst year's that anniversary. It's almost like there's some kind of anniversary deal out here where there's a time clock that comes around. But anyway, so the story is that when I finally did, I think it was year three, and I said, Joe, I really want to get them to come out there. So year three, I believe he said no. And so then the next year I said, I'm doing it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to call them. And I tried everything I could. I even went to my work computer to fill out that form that they have. Mm-hmm. And I had friends try to do it for me as well. And it would not go through.
Wow.
No way. And I'm like, oh, shoot. So then the third year happened and I pretty much didn't think they were going to even hear. I mean, what's the chance? One family in a thousands that call, you know, and I think they only have like 12 people. I mean, 12 families. I don't know how many they actually have, but, sure enough, it went through. It went through and I left them a video. I left them what's happening. I mean, I still have all of the things I sent them. Uh-huh. I keep everything just for records.
Sure.
And it was about 4 months later that all of a sudden the phone rang and it was them. It was them. Wow. And I was like, it's you? And so they actually... You know, then you have to go through a pretty, I don't know, grueling. I don't know if it's grueling, but to get them to actually come out here, you really have to present the truth, and you really have to send them witnesses. And it was very, very detailed. We had to talk to people way before and just discuss everything way before they actually said yes. So it wasn't like people think, they're like, well, they just pick anybody, you know, people like that go to these. And then maybe some shows do. But I know for a fact that the Dead Files, that's the name of the show that we were on. It was 2 years ago now that it's been. So they're the ones. And so it was literally very difficult to actually get to the process and make, you know, that they, you know, but they were really, really nice about everything.
Oh, good.
And they were always kind about what they were trying to do. They're just, it's just part of the professional, what they do. This is their routine, and you have to fill out the forms, and they have to double check you, so you're not a quack and, and are not telling the truth and things like that, because they bring a whole crew out and they put a lot of effort into the things that they do. It was a tremendous effort, I believe, what they did.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, they, as you mentioned, they get a lot of people reaching out to the shows, and they probably have to be pretty careful screening them, because the last thing they want to do is devote those time and resources to sending the, you know, the people involved out to locations and have it just be a bunk, you know. So they probably are real careful about that. That makes perfect sense. And actually, that's comforting to hear. I'm glad that they do, because, you know, everybody's got a story, but not everybody's story is, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a, you know, I don't want to sound like a jerk, because I believe everybody's claims, but not everybody's claims can be presented, I guess, on television as well as others, you know?
Right. And I had so many details for them because of my passion. I'm almost like a detective. I love to do that stuff. I love to research. Well, I do that for my work, for my clients. So I have to research what is the right things for them.
Sure.
So it just naturally fell into what I began doing. And well, literally, I believe that God was working with us the whole time, and he would try to show things, like he would present, or God would present things like, wow, okay, I see that, or, you know, I understand that, or you get messages. But literally, Brent, this area that we're living in, and that's part of the things that I was trying to express to them, but it really wasn't focused on at all in the show, because they had to focus on this particular plot of land.
Oh, sure.
But there are deaths all around this area. I think it's kind of interesting on the show, they didn't really talk about it. They actually kind of skimmed over that, but literally it was 2 weeks or more plus here. And then, so there's, you know, that the whole editing process, I think, is completely different than, you know, the detective process of what goes on. But there are so many deaths and murders in this tiny community that are beyond belief. Like, even last year, a man murdered his wife literally down the dirt road.
Oh.
He shot her. And a young boy that just turned 21 was run over, and nobody knows why or where. Oh. And that's just two. I've uncovered like 30.
Oh my God.
going beyond way long ago. And so I believe when Amy did come here, and she saw some of the things that were here, we were able, all of us, to understand more what the research has been and what it was that was causing, I believe, a lot of these things to occur here, including what happened to us.
If you don't mind, could you kind of walk us through they show up and how was the process? Because I think a lot of us, I've been a fan of the Dead Files for a long time, and several other shows that are, you know, highlighting spiritual research and such. And you know, I guess for me on the outside looking in, they all look like they're presented pretty well, but you always wonder, what is that process like for the people involved? So if you wouldn't mind.
It was insane. Okay. It started out really, just perfect. It started out where when they finally had decided what day they were going to be there at what time. And then it was the process of us trying to get the place clean. You know, I just want to make sure it was clean here. So absolutely, that was a big deal. And then the animals, we have all these animals. We have horses and goats. And so we, what are we going to do? So they said that was okay, the horses and goats and things, but the dogs, which we had quite a few, they had to be kenneled, which they had never been in a kennel. So that was very stressful to me to put them in a kennel. That was like, they didn't want to do that. So that was a big stressful part of one of the things. And then when they actually came to, for the first like look-see at the property, that went smooth as anything. So smooth. They came and they looked around like, okay, this is, we see where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. And we had actually more people that were supposed to be on the event, on the show, not my family, really. My family that is here was kind of like they weren't really supposed to be on the show.
Oh, okay.
I had already submitted others that had been helping us through the years, or had been a part of it that had seen and experienced things. So those were the people that were actually okayed to be on the show originally. But what happened after that very nice first, day of them coming here, all of a sudden the forecast changed. It was beautiful weather for months. And then for some reason on that day, that dreaded first day, it was supposed to be her walk. It was supposed to be the night of her walk.
Okay.
And we had everything. We got all the animals taken. We went to the hotel. As we were driving off, I saw one person driving in a little car. And I thought, well, we live way down dirt roads anyway. So I thought, well, that's probably not a good idea. You probably need four-wheel drive for sure, because the roads at the time weren't all that great. And as we all ended up a couple of hours later at the hotel, which they did put us in a hotel close to the house in town, so really not close, but they do that. And we were just having dinner, and my cell phone starts ringing, and it's one of the producers. And that's when all hell broke loose, because apparently the giant storm that just appeared out of nowhere, like a mecca rainstorm, which focused mainly on our area, but all through the city of Tucson, too. Uh-huh. But it seemed like our area was plagued with super floods.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. So this was not actually mentioned at all on the show either. But what happened was, they called and they said, we are stranded. All of us in our cars and trucks or cars and vans. And some of them were stranded on our property and some of them, couldn't get out. So they were stuck on the property, but someone was able to go get the people, but their cars and vans with the equipment were stranded on our particular property. Wow. And then Joe, my husband, who has a big truck, he said, because when you get on this dirt road, there's no service. It's hard to even talk to people because there's no real service or telephone.
Sure.
But luckily they were able to call us. And so they were all stranded in the water, flooding water in their vehicles, and they couldn't move. They were stranded.
Oh no.
So it was 11 different vehicles on that night were stranded. And so Joe took his truck, went into back to the place, and he got in that water and he towed them each one out of that, of those floods. And so we get floods out here. We're in a flood zone.
Okay.
When it floods, we look like we are a little house on the water. That's what our house is, very high. You know, in pictures, our house looks huge. Our house is not huge. Uh-huh. It's high up. So the flooded waters came and they were all stranded in the flooded waters. And I thought the investigation was over at that moment. It was over. They had a time schedule, and that was the night she was supposed to be there. And that was ruined. basically. And I was distraught about that because I knew they would be leaving. But Joe, the funny thing was not funny, but Joe went and got them out one by one. And then a policeman ended up being at the side of the road. So we're all dirt roads. And then there's a paved road. It had been freshly paved like 3-4 days before.
Okay.
And here comes this crud, this rain. And some people then got stuck in that on the sides of the road, and they couldn't get their cars out there. And so a lot of the cars, when I came the next day, were still stuck and stranded on the side of the road going to our house and then on in our house. Mm-hmm. And so a policeman did help a little bit, but he told Joe to move his truck into a different area, and Joe did, and it got stuck. Oh. So Joe got stuck in his big truck. So we had to send another truck to get him.
Oh, no.
So this is how it all began. And talk about stressful. That was just completely stressful. So, but I will say, I commend the production team, because when everybody got settled and back to their hotels, and can you imagine, like, Amy's out there driving and they finally, I guess, called her and told her, you know, come back from wherever she's out.
Right.
Cause they really do adhere to that. Like, nobody knows, she doesn't know a thing. And, we never saw her till we walked out of the room and saw her that one day in our living room.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, it's like, I'm sitting in the spot where they actually were set up right now. And, so I had to come in, and they all decided and knew that this was trying to stop them from being there. They said that. I don't know if they would swear by that, but they did say, and even I believe Amy agreed that this was, that road did not want them down it to do this investigation. The investigation, the spirits did not want this investigation, period. That's why they tried to stop it every single year. That's why it was always canceled or ruined or, and it was, so this was 2 years of trying, but it was to stop it. She told us, no, I need to get out of the property. I need to leave very soon. That we need to sell the property. What happened then is, because we were flooded, you can't get to our property when flooded.
Right.
I can't go to work because I have to wait till the hill dries. Mm-hmm. And so they did. They worked a routine out where they could change up what they were going to do. And we ended up not seeing some of the people that I had picked to help me with this. They ended up just they were going to try to have them come out to our property, but it was still so muddy that they decided, well, we're just going to go with your family. We're going to go with what we have here. And then we're going to go talk to people in town.
Oh,
so the whole thing began, it just switched. It switched over, and they ended up, they found the truth. They found the research prior, but then they really went in to talk to the people. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what research they had found. You know, I didn't know what they had found at all. I gave them everything I could find, but what they found was I never could find. They were able to go in and get those records of births and deaths that I didn't even know had happened here. Mm-hmm. And they were able to find out about the servicemen, the Green Berets, that actually died like right around here, like very close to us, right over us in many ways. Mm. And those were the ones I had seen. I had seen servicemen spirits. Because I talked to people all the time. I said, well, I saw this man and he was a serviceman. And so through the years, I would see different things, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when it all came down to it, we ended up, because of the mud and everything, they were able to finally come back and do the thing where the family spoke to Steve.
Okay.
So he came here, And that was quite a day. Wow. So that was, so what they basically did was they were in town interviewing people and doing more research. And then they let this place dry out a little bit and then they did it. They tried again and it worked. The sun came out and the sun came out and, they were able to get in here freely, but still they had to get all new cars because all of their cars were totaled.
Oh, geez.
Totaled. They were all totaled. And so when they actually left, we still had cars from them that they came and picked up days after they'd already left.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's how crazy it was. Mm-hmm. So it was already very stressful because everything, you know, we'd planned for a month at least knowing exactly how it was going to work and be and all in this order and on this day and we'd be prepared and we only have the dogs in a kennel one day. Well, no, we had to do it again. We had to take all the dogs to the kennel again.
Wow.
And it was just like so stressful for everybody. So I'm kind of rambling. I hate to do that rambling stuff, but so you want to know specifically possibly about like some of the interview process that they did
process. What did she see when she came through versus your experiences? Was her walk pretty accurate to what you had experienced?
Oh my God. She was amazing.
Good. Yeah.
She saw when it was so shocking to me because when I actually sat, you know, came out of his, I think I was telling you yesterday, I mean, there's a room, the room is right here. And Joe and I had to stay in that room until it was time for us to come out on the day when we did what was called the reveal, which everybody knows the reveal. So we never saw Amy until that moment. And boy, talk about surreal. I mean, surreal. Just look out, and there she is. They're sitting there, you know, like you always see on the show. Yeah. There they were. And all these cameras are around us. And in my living room. And so I was fully prepared for the fact that she was going to say, I can fix this. Mm-hmm. It's this, it's that, and it's this. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to call this and all that. And that's what I thought was going to happen. I was very optimistic that she could do that.
Sure.
And sure enough, so they start explaining what he found versus what she saw. And they connected it. They connected the dots. She saw the things that had happened in that there's an area right as you walk in through the door. I know people can't see me, but everywhere that she went through in the house she was spot on. And it was the most incredible validation to me that everything I had experienced, she validated. The drawings that I had been drawing that they didn't know about, she validated the same kind of spirits that I had seen and drawn. She drew them. That thing that was over the bed, which I had drawn something very similar to that like 2 weeks prior, but they did not know that. They did not see that. I keep all my drawings in my book and I share them on my Facebook and on my website, my spirit drawings. So it's just what I do. But sure enough, she validated that. They found and uncovered the murders that we did not know about that had happened long ago, that had happened with the aircraft, with the servicemen. They uncovered this that we would have never known.
Sure.
And there's no plaque here anywhere saying this Jolly Green Giant 1989 crashed and dived into your property. There's no plaque here. There's no remembrance. If there is, I know for a fact that there is now. We're going to make our own remembrance of it. Now we've decided to make a memorial, which is coming up soon. Yeah. But so the other things that you hear when you actually see the show, what she says, well, that's just like, I think 10% only of what was said, which is because of the editing, because of the time.
Yeah.
They were here 4 hours talking with us and there was so much information shared, and mainly she does say it, like when you watch the show at the beginning, what's there? I see bones. There's words that she says that were part of the conversation. Like there are bones buried. Basically there are bones buried on this property. She saw people in uniforms. So all of it was collaborated by what Steve had found.
Wow.
And it was amazing to watch it. But when it was coming at me, I was literally in shock because it was directed at me.
Right.
And you know, like you'll hear, like there was a female in the house, you know, she didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. So that female was me. Mm-hmm. And when it all came down to what was happening, and then what they were doing to me, which, you know, it was pretty bad at that moment. Yeah. So like right now you see me, mm-hmm. I'm very healthy again right now. I'm sure. Really healthy. Mm-hmm. But at the time, Brent, oh my God, I was septic. That there was I had just found out that day, like 2 days before, from a really amazing naturopath doctor that I had found, that I was able to go to. He told me that my ileocecal valve was off. It was open. And so that's why I was becoming so sick physically in our medical world. Mm-hmm. I was in the medical realms. I was so septic that I literally, he said, if we hadn't have figured this out and started me on an antibiotic thing, I probably would have gone into the hospital and died like a week later. That's how septic, when you see me on the show at that time, I was very sick and I wasn't feeling good. And I was very, it was very difficult. But luckily, when we had that happen, and then all of a sudden the confirmation of what she said, mm-hmm. it was like, I literally thought I was going to faint when the program happened. I mean, I was crying. I did everything I didn't want to do. Well,
but who can blame you?
I was like crying. I cussed. I said like, this sucks. I mean, I just did everything I wouldn't have wanted to do on, and they filmed the whole thing and put it on there.
Oh,
my eyelashes. I wear eyelashes and they were falling off. Aww. I'm like, you can't, you put all this on there. So I was like, when I actually saw the whole thing, I was like, good God, thanks.
So in the end result, did she say that she could help, or what was the final close of this?
No. Mm-hmm. So basically, and they say that on the show when they're talking, and Joe and I were like sitting there like shocked. I mean, this is not the outcome we thought was going to happen.
Right.
She basically we were one of the people, they said, no, you got to get out. What are you going to do? You're going to leave? And we're like, yes, we're going to leave. Because by that point, I was ready to go. The pandemic hadn't started. I mean, the pandemic, we just had our normal life of stress then.
Yeah.
And I knew that we were up for selling whatever we needed to do, but we did not think that she would be able to fix it. Joe is not, he doesn't watch those shows. He doesn't do paranormal. Uh-huh. He's not like I am on this. He's a spiritual person, but he didn't know who Amy Allen was.
Sure.
Really. Yeah. So I was having faith in her, but she told us, no, I need to get out of the property. I need to leave very soon, that we need to sell the property. But she also told me what on the side that she would become, that she felt that she could bring her team back. And so this was not on the actual show. They did not put that. Mm-hmm. Why, I don't know. But she told me, I believe, and she did have, does have a team. She said, I have to come back for another family over here, which they had another one in Arizona that same week, that 2 weeks before that had aired right before ours. And I could never find these people. I tried to find them, but I couldn't find them. But she was supposed to come back out and help their house. So she said, well, I'll come out and we'll bring the team back and we'll try.
Oh, cool.
And Yeah, so I felt optimistic, but at the time I felt like my world was completely wrecked and shocked. And she also said that the angel of death was there. I believe she said that the angel of death was there. Oh, okay, now how many shows have you watched, Brent, where you've seen her say that?
Not many.
Just the angel, I know, not many. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm just like, I feel like I was getting just stabbed with horror.
Yeah.
And not expecting the angel of death. And here I'm literally feeling so sick. And I was so scared. I was literally shocked and scared by all that she said. It wasn't like I thought it was going to be at all. Like I didn't know what it was going to be. But anyway, so she gave me some salt. She gave me this special salt that she said she uses, and that it had something to do with black magic and getting rid of it. So basically what had happened here, she said to us, was that there was a tremendous amount of black magic. So Santeria, basically, well, this is in Arizona. This is part of Mexico. That is the deal we were dealing with, was black magic, Santeria, mixed with everything else that was combined here. Mm-hmm. And that this salt would help me, because they come over my, they come to the bed, and they, I was having terrible nightmares that were real. I don't think they were nightmares. I think they're real, where the spirit, the shadow man is what we call him, because he's just a shadow. Mm-hmm. And he would literally come into the dreams, and like I was being killed, I was being thrown around in the walls, and it was so real, and I would wake up screaming bloody murder, like screaming. And Joe would do the Lord's Prayer with me, and he'd stop, and I'd be screaming, and this was a constant battle nightly.
Sure.
And so she gave me salt, and the salt literally, I felt comforted by the salt. We put it around the bed. I went everywhere with the salt. This, it all came about the salt for me, like salt, salt, you know. it was weird. It's like, that was my salt. Not one mention of, you know, crosses, or, you know, we told them what we do. We told them that we've been doing the four corners. All, you know, I mean, it's weird. I go through my Facebook and I have it all. I dialogue, or what do you call it? I put it all in there, like, well, today we're going to the four corners, or we're going to put these crystals down. And so I kind of like filmed the whole thing through the years, what we were doing. A lot of people knew what was happening out here because I would talk about it.
Right.
Anyway, so she basically did say that she would come back, and I have her emails corresponding with me, which I'm not going to show or whatever, sure. But
yeah.
it was through the time. Up until my surgery, I corresponded with her, which I did have a surgery in January. It was actually like January 30th. So they left at Thanksgiving. So we had the 1 month, and then then we were told to make a video, which I thought was interesting. Like, it was only 4 weeks that they had left, and they asked us to make a video. So it came out right before. It was right before Christmas, and I was like, well, we're still waiting for you to come back, you know, and I'm just trying to say we're trying to be positive and all.
Right.
They ended up showing that film on the thing. They cut like half of it. So I don't know if I want to go into some of the things I feel about some of the things, but she definitely was supposed to come back. And, but then dun, 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 dun. The pandemic,
yeah,
shut everybody.
It did,
you know. So
yeah, and in all fairness, yeah, I mean, the whole world went on its head when the pandemic hit, so that's understandable. But I think the story is absolutely incredible. And again, you persevered. You and Joe have both stuck together and weathered the storm, and now things are pretty settled, right?
Yes, they are. But I will tell you that. So when they didn't come back, right? The actual show appeared, you know, that the show came out. I didn't think it was coming out that soon, but we ended up being like the first in the spring, like right as pandemic had been going, like, I guess a month. I don't know. So what happened after that was it got worse. Basically, because my whole family was from Texas, had lost their home. Oh. So instead of us, we had our house starting to be up for sale and all that. So we had everything started where we were going to work with a realtor, mm-hmm. and then that happened and shut it. But then the worst part happened was because all of a sudden my family, who have 3 children, were forced to come to Arizona, and they ended up, without being homeless, they came to live at our property. Oh. So not only did we have the other 2 of my family, but we had my son, his wife, and their 3 children. Mm-hmm. All those ones all began living in the haunted cabin. Oh. And it became worse. And they just couldn't come because she couldn't come back. And their things were shut down. Mm-hmm. Their whole thing was shut down. So I did stay in contact with them through many of the months. But yeah, so it literally got so bad that we were all here in this haunted hell, and we could not leave because everybody was home. Sure. Right. Yeah. But before that, I could leave. I could go to work. I would be gone. Yeah. I would stay away. And, my job ended. My job was forced to shut. And we were all here in hell. Wow. And it was, and with a family that we hadn't seen and children, all of a sudden on the property, and they started seeing the ghosts. Hmm. And they started having issues immediately. And they were telling, and I was just like mortified. But what happened was it escalated so much that year that by November, I had discovered something what I believe is like the secret to all of this. Mm-hmm. And the second I found the secret historical document, that's when it really got probably worse than it had ever in the whole time of us mm-hmm. being here, to where I thought we were all, I thought I was going to have to leave. I thought we might break up again. Mm-hmm. I thought that everybody in my family was going to have to leave, and we didn't have anywhere to go. And it was so bad. So I said, I'm going to call in. I've got to get an exorcist. And that's when everything changed. I couldn't find one. And then I went to looking at different priests and different things. I put something out on Facebook about an exorcist. Does anybody know of an exorcist? Sure. I was so desperate. Yeah. And I was just terrible. I was terribly desperate. And somebody sent me something about Darkness Dave. And so I'm like, well, I didn't know who that was. And so I looked up this man, and I put myself on his prayer list. And he contacted me right away. He was very, very nice. And he goes, I know of a exorcist in California. And so I'm like, here we are in a pandemic. Nobody can come here. Right. So I chatted with that man for a little while, but there was no way. I just like, well, there's no way. I wasn't sure what I was doing. And so another out of the blue, a contact came in, and she goes, you need to call Bill Bean. And I'm like, who's Bill Bean? Right. Uh-huh. I didn't know him either. I don't have TV. If I watch anything, I watch it on my phone or something, because sure. I don't have TV. Right. I'd rather not deal with TV stuff. So I hadn't watched any of these paranormal shows in a long time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I made contact. I looked at who Bill Bean was, and I'm like, he's an exorcist and he's been on TV. I'm like, that is so weird. What a coincidence is that? What in the world? I didn't know who he was, but I took the initiative, and I did call, and it was the day that began the end of this tyranny of our own little property here.
Oh, cool.
It was like I reached out on this nice woman named Melinda called me, and she's his assistant. Uh-huh. And here's this voice coming that it was like, comfort, comfort, comfort. Mm-hmm. It was so comforting too. And she understood. Mm-hmm. They didn't know who I was and hadn't seen. They never, I don't even think they've actually ever watched the show. Sure. This whole time that I've known them, they never watched what happened to us. But she said, I understand, Mercedes, I understand what you're dealing with. And so she told me to, she was going to talk to Bill. And it ended up that she began sending me prayers that he has these prayers that he specifically has words that specific words that he uses in these prayers. And a lot of them are the Lord's Prayer.
Sure.
But so that's a big one, which we did anyway. We were doing the Lord's Prayer.
Sure.
So I got to tell you, one thing is interesting. So we began a whole ritual when the whole family moved here because we could tell that people were coming in and we'd have the property kind of settled. And somebody would come in and they'd bring their own stuff. And it was like a war would begin. Mm. And so we began to do this thing where everybody had, and we still do it today, at that front gate, which we didn't have a gate before, we put a big fenced area. We fenced our property because people started finding us and coming here. And so we didn't want them to find us, but they were.
Yeah.
And we had no fences. And so we fenced the whole area. And there's a big giant gate because Joe makes things like that. He gates and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we stop at that gate every time and we say the Lord's Prayer and then we drive down to the houses, and that the rules were that everybody, before you walk into your house, or there's cabins here, that you have to say the Lord's Prayer and do a clearing there too. So that was how we were trying to keep things safe here. Mm-hmm. So when Bill came along, all of a sudden she gave us these prayers and I started immediately doing them. And it was like Joe and I banded together when we were having difficulties because of all the stress, but we banded together with these prayers and things started lightening up between us. Yeah. And then when Bill actually did the very first, I took a little time on that because I still thought he had to come here and he couldn't come here.
Sure.
And so I was going to wait it out. And, when I said, okay, let's do this, it was only about a month out after we'd already started doing the prayers, just some prayers. And, they're on his website. So anyway, it was a Skype call like what we're doing right now. And I was like, cause I work with people on the phone too, but I thought this is too serious for a Skype call, but I will try anything.
Sure.
And be darned if it didn't work. He went through the whole house. We went outside. We had special oil, holy oil. Mm-hmm. There's a whole routine. We normally had a routine, but this one was so intense. So many procedures that we followed. Mm-hmm. And when it was all complete, the next day, it was like this house was changed.
Good.
The house, and this is a large property, but this house was different. And there's other houses. So what I've learned is that through this process, that certain people in certain houses were carrying stuff. So the house was clear, which is a big deal. But then we had to do a series of the same thing on us as a family. Mm-hmm. We had all come together as a family, and he did another one with the family.
Cool.
And then there was still the other family and their house, and that was the very last one. And we couldn't do that one until after they moved, which they were able to move.
Mm.
And then he did an exorcism on the cabin, and it's like night and day. I was telling you yesterday, I have an incredible paranormal team that is helping me, and they have investigated twice, once before the last exorcism and then after the last exorcism, and it's completely different. We still have many, many spirits here, but they are no longer growling and they are no longer making horrible things. So it has changed our life. My whole life is different. My family is healed. The whole world is so much better. My music, I've got to do my music again. I'm just, my life is incredible right now.
Well, you made it. You guys are a success story, and that's really cool. And my hat's off to you guys, because dealing with such darkness is double tough, and to come out, a whole, I think is nothing short of miraculous. So, of course, I'm thrilled to hear that. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing all of this. And I want you to take at least a couple minutes and let people know how to stay in touch with you and what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you. And I thank you so much for just letting me be here with you to talk to you. You're just a wonderful man. I really like you very much. So, right now I have different things on social media, but a lot of the things I'm doing are focused on my website, which is mybeautifulspirit.com. So just the same words as it is, mybeautifulspirit.com. And then I do a lot of things on Facebook, which is under Mercedes Lucky Benedict. And then what I'm doing now is I have a little show called Unveiling Mystery that I'm working on, which is going to be about all of these things. Excellent. And you can find that on all of the social media like you're on. So all the same list. It's hard for me to remember all their names.
Sure.
And also my music, which I'm working with Bill Beam, of all things. God bless me with him being a guitar player.
Sure.
And he's doing the guitar leads on my new spirit songs and my new songs. And so that's a big thing for me. And the documentary is coming up about this situation. But so you can find me on those places. And then I'm going to be getting on the other social medias like Rumble and things like that, that are not being censored by certain other establishments.
Yeah.
That I'm not about that kind of stuff, but I'm trying to move on to different areas where I be on that. And I definitely, my goal is to bring clarity and help not only to the spirit world, to let the spirits that are here, like they are free now, they free from what was happening to them here.
Right.
And so that is kind of my goal, is to help those spirits and animal spirits, and also just be a light and show people that God really is here. Yeah. And that you can do these things and you can succeed and flourish even after all those years of pain.
Well, I, again, my hat's off to you. I think you are a radiant light. Just getting to know you has been a wonderful thing. And I thank you so much once again for coming on the show and sharing all of this. It's an incredible journey. And we'll have to talk again, because I know there's more to the stories. And I'd love to have you come back and share those as well.
Oh, I so would too. And, you know, I forgot to even say about the remote viewing and work I do. So, I mean, my therapy work and the remote viewing work, all of that you will find on the website and the different things that I've just said. So there's so much involved in how we can help others.
Excellent.
And I appreciate you giving me a voice here to be able to speak about those things as my family goes beyond what happened here. But we have to talk about it now that actually we're alive and free to do that.
Right.
And we're okay. I feel okay and comfortable enough now to talk about it, where it's been 2 years and I really haven't talked too much about it because of what was going on. So now I have a free voice to be able to express what did happen and how much, you know, we learned from that, you know.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for letting me be here.
It's my pleasure. And thank you so much for coming on. And we'll be talking for sure into the future.
Yay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows, Journeys into the Paranormal Portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can.